Hey y'all, Naomi here. We'll bring you a brand new episode next week, don't worry, but we gotta honor our Asian American Lifetime queens. So we are bringing you a rerun of one of our favorites, Secrets in the Family. So enjoy this pure Lifetime gold. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode to kick off Black Music History Month.
A Lifetime Original Podcast.
When CJ and I started dating, I remember we got in a fight, like leaving a sporting event. And the fight basically resulted in me going, if we are going to continue dating, I need you to have your phone charged and I need you to have $20 cash no matter what, because you just don't know what pops up. And he's like, absolutely. No, do you also have to have $20 cash? I go, no, you need to have $20 cash.
I love a Lifetime movie. People love having a dead phone battery in a Lifetime movie.
Call this the Megyn Gailey film.
Always compliment a white woman's produce.
I think it's very easy to get inside my head.
And I said, ma'am, you don't need that much jam. No one does.
It smells like sex in here.
They give you one diaper a week and say, do your best.
Put a damn smile on your pixie head.
Not a good idea to get so close to the edge like that.
What's wrong with you?
Jason told me you have to leave.
I will when I'm ready.
Hey!
You need to leave now.
Don't ever touch me again. I'm going.
Make it quick.
Hello and welcome to another episode of I Love a Lifetime Movie. I am Megyn Gailey, joined by my friend, your friend, our favorite comedian, Naomi Ekperigin. Hi, Naomi.
Megyn Gailey, it's always a pleasure to see you on the Zoom.
So I'm very excited because this morning I shot out of bed when I saw you post that you were a therapist on Family Guy.
Thank you so much for your excitement. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you being into it. Yes, I play a therapist. And it's funny because when you get the audition, like the offer, it was just like therapist who helps Peter and Lois. Mm-hmm. Then I just get the sides that are like, you're a sex therapist. And basically, Peter will not perform oral sex on Lois.
Wow. Peter. So Peter is DJ Khaled.
Yes. Okay, absolutely. Great. Absolutely. He is the middle class DJ Khaled. And so... yeah, that's what I had to do. And it is out.
You belong. I mean, you are a couples therapist, have a famous podcast. And so that's where I think you should be playing every sex therapist. You could play the sex therapist in my real life.
Honestly, happy to. You know, I'm sex negative. But again, it's all a performance. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm acting. Mm-hmm. And I know what like other people, you know, want to do. I'm happy to help. You know,
yeah, you understand sex.
I understand.
You're just not pro sex.
Exactly.
Get it. Got it.
But therapy voice is a fun voice. I like doing therapist voice, right? Because like in cartoon form, it's very like, calm and cool.
I did a show on Friday and there was poetry and I got to hear people go into their poet voice.
Okay.
And that was a real experience too. And then I was like, should I be doing a stand-up voice?
Oh, wait. So I love that you said it was a real experience. That is very diplomatic of you. There is nothing I hate more than poetry on a comedy show. Or I just don't like a variety show in general. I don't like a variety in general. Because the energy really, it's too much of a
swing. Up and down.
It's too much for me.
Yeah. Even like stand-ups, we hate being on the same show as music because it's like music people like. And stand-up, hit or miss. So if I know you have, we have had to follow bands. We have had to follow musical comedians. Uh-huh, I went after the poets, like. It's just if you're going to have stand up on shows with other things, have the stand up be first, because we are our own version of freak and we need to be corralled in such a way.
Interesting you say that. See, my thinking is because I have opened in the last year, I opened for Amy Mann and Jeff Tweedy.
Wow.
And when I tell you those are two audiences that were not having me. Okay.
Are you serious?
But of course, like if you want to hear Amy Mann talk about like, say save me. You don't want like a black lady yelling at you for 15 minutes.
Yes, you should.
It's the opposite vibe.
Everyone should want you. You could open for Alice in Chains and they should want you. Like, I just think that if the Amy Mann audience didn't want you, then they didn't want anybody but Amy Mann.
Well, that's very sweet of you. You are my rock. You are my light. But maybe that was also true, too. I think it's just two different modes of engaging, right? When you go to watch music,
you're vibing. Yes.
Whereas I think comedy, stand-up, not heckling, even just, like, you have to listen and pay attention. And, like, you are going on a journey in a way that, especially a musician, if you already know their songs, you're just kind of chilling and enjoying just, like, watching them do it. Whereas with stand-up, it's like you got to kind of engage a little bit more. And people don't always want to be doing that. And you know what? I don't blame them. I don't blame them. But now I say no.
We don't go watch stand-up. We don't go watch it.
That's true.
You know? Like, if someone's like, do you want to go to a stand-up show? I'd be like, to perform? But that's us. You do have some, you are getting ready to go. Can I call it tour? Everything's a tour now. Oh, I love these boys. They'll be like, I'm going on tour. And it's like, you're going to Tennessee.
Well, that's basically me. I'm going on a two-city tour, honey. November 11th and 12th, you can see me at Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington. So if you are in the Burlington area, come through, honey. Two shows a night, two nights. Four opportunities to see me do some material. Then if you are in New York City on November 17th, I am doing a show at 10 p.m. at the Bell House in Brooklyn, and there's some tickets for that. I've got Aparna Nancherla and Irene Morales opening for me.
Wow.
And you want to know what, Megan, what I'm so excited about? We added this show because the 7:30 sold out. What a blessing.
In demand.
What a blessing. In this economy, in inflation, for you to choose to spend money on a ticket, I have never felt more honored.
Yeah. And I think the Late Show is going to be sold out too. I wish I could be there, but I will be in Los Angeles, where I'm sure it'll still be 100 degrees despite being November.
Oh, God. I feel like I've promoted myself enough. We've got to promote this motion picture. We've got to talk Absolutely. About this movie. Megan, tell them what we're talking about.
Okay, so this film, a 2022 joint. Heard of that year? Here we are. It is called Secrets in the Family. A nurse's dream job takes a turn for the worse when her wealthy patient dies. I forgot this part of the log line, obviously, because I was very upset. Under mysterious circumstances, being a caretaker prone to mistakes, she becomes a prime suspect in the investigation. She must quickly uncover her patient's family's secrets to prove her innocence. So without further ado, let's get into this bad boy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so we open and I say, Mar Vista Hive, where are you? We've got a Mar Vista. And you know, Naomi and I get excited when we see our Lifetime studios and production companies. We know we're in the hands of Mar Vista. Hive, rise up. We're good to go.
Well, what do? We start, honey. Classic cold open. You know, Lifetime, they're bringing you that terror in the beginning. And we see a woman, she's running through a factory, but she can't get out. And she's being pursued by another woman who has a crowbar. And she is wearing high yet sensible heels. Okay? That's mm-hmm. what you're thinking. And again, we don't know anybody's names yet. They're just kind of running. And then Anna, we see her, she grabs like a piece of scrap metal. Just, you know, she's making a weapon, honey.
She's the one running. And we know her name is Anna because the high-heeled gal with a fun short blonde hairdo, Pixie, is saying,
come on out, Anna. Don't make this worse for yourself.
So we're like, okay, that's Anna. Okay. What's she up to?
What's she up to, honey? She's grabbing scrap metal. She's making a weapon. Okay. And she runs. And what looks like she's maybe running towards the person who's pursuing her. She's running towards somebody mm-hmm. with her metal. We just know that Anna said, you ain't getting me tonight. Okay.
Right.
Then we cut to 2 weeks earlier. Okay. So this is 2 weeks before Anna is about to kill somebody with scrap metal. Okay.
Then we see Anna. She is at work. She is a nursing aide of some sort. And she is pushing an old man in a wheelchair, and he keeps whacking her hand with a newspaper. And it's like, sir, now I have worked with lots of old people.
I know. This is your area. This is your area of expertise.
Of course. You do need to go up, and I know Anna did this, before you start pushing someone's wheelchair, you need to go to the front of it and go, hi, I'm Megan. Is it okay if I push your wheel? You can't just unlock them and push them. Yeah. Not appropriate. But I know Anna introduced herself, but then she's like, we're going to go see Mrs. And he goes, So it's like, okay, that's why he thinks she's taking him to the proctologist. But really, she's like, listen, we're going to go see your honey. And he's like, all right, let's do it. So we see that, like, in this scene, we learn old people can be testy, but old people can also be nice.
But that Anna has the patience. Because literally, he keeps hitting her. Like, he repeatedly hits her hand, and she just takes it. And she never resists. It's like, we know Anna is calm. We know Anna is able to deal with a difficult patient, to say the least.
Yes.
Okay?
That's what we're setting up.
Absolutely. And then we see, you know, Anna's in the break room with her friend, and her friend is showing her a job listing for a full-time live-in nurse in, like, a giant mansion in a small town called Stone River, but it pays $6,000 a month. Okay?
That's not enough.
Wait, is it not?
I don't think so, because if you do the math on that, that's $72,000 a year. I think a live-in nurse needs to be making north of that.
But even if they're putting you up, you have a free room and board too? I don't know. I'm curious. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, like, it should be, but I don't know how people do.
Yes, because I don't want to live at the house. Like, that. I'm like, I think you should honestly be paying extra for 24-hour care. That's like, because if you're in a nursing care facility, and it's, you know how much those cost now? Over 30 grand a month.
A month? Over 30 grand a month?
Oh, yeah. People, you need to get your long-term care insurance, because it is expensive. Oh, I mean, when I worked at a nursing home, and I worked at a retirement community. I actually do not like the term nursing home. When I worked at the retirement community, that was 10 years ago, and it was $24,000 then.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. So we're talking $1,000 a day.
So what can I do to be set up for this? Because you know I'm childless and will remain so.
I actually don't know.
I'm like, how do we kind of do this? I need to make a plan.
I think we can get long-term care insurance.
All right, you guys, everyone check your affairs. Get your affairs in order, honey, because we want to get a nice nurse pushing us, okay? We don't want nobody abusing us or leaving us in a room for 20 hours, okay?
No, and you don't want to have to be in one of the places that the United States government is subsidizing because, oh boy. Basically, those, take a sleeping bag to the DMV and that'll give you what that's going to look like.
They give you one diaper a week and say, do your best.
Oh, my gosh.
So because we learn Anna is fresh from a breakup, so she figures, why not go and interview for this job? It's like, why not go to Stone River? What else is she doing? She's alone. That's
Stone River.
So we see Anna. She has a job interview with brother and sister Jason and Carla. And Carla is giving us the severe pixie. Isn't that what you would call that?
Yes.
A severe pixie, kind of?
Yes, yes.
And platinum blonde.
Right. It's very House of Cards. Mm. And she is mean. Like, not just rude, just very mean. Like, genuinely, you need some love. She needs some sex therapy. Right. Because it's like, Carla, you're obviously rich. Why are you this upset? That's what all these rich people. It's like, when I find out someone's rich and they're not smiling 24 hours a day, I'm like, what? And we've all heard more money, more problems.
Well, if you're rich and white, I'm like, honey, you're fine. Like, unless you have some health thing going on, you are actually fine. Truly as fine as can be.
You're interviewing someone at a nice restaurant. That's not where interviews usually take place. You get to have bread and soup and a salad and just conduct your business. Put a damn smile on your pixie head.
Well, luckily, though, for Anna, Jason, the brother, he's the friendly one. He's the nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's, like, really trying to kind of warm her up. He even actually seems a little too flirty. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes, absolutely. And Carla notes that, too. She's like, all right, put it in your pants.
Calm down. But basically, we learn that Jason and Carla are running the family business, and they, you know, they don't have time to take care of their mother, and their mother is the person that Anna will be taking care of. They're saying that she has dementia. She's in the early stages and is just at the point where now she needs more than just for them to pop by every now and then, you know? And then Anna, you know, says that she's single, and Jason seems to enjoy that. And then he hires her on the spot, and Carla does not appreciate that.
You offer her the job without consulting me first?
Oh, come on. She's the best candidate we've seen. She's more than qualified, and she's got a personality.
And I suppose the fact that she's pretty and flirty didn't factor into your decision at all.
But it's also like, yeah, like, okay, I'll tell you this about Anna, too. Like, Anna is, she's smiley. She's the kind of person who you can't, again, you can just whack her with a newspaper and she's fine with it. Or like when she gets to the interview and she's late and Carla's like, what's wrong with you? Anna's like, oh, you know how work is, you know, like, she's not easily... You can't dim her light. She's a real sunshine gal.
No, she's personable, and she gives the impression from this interview that she has good bedside manner. And that's very, very important in across the medical field, but especially with patients struggling with memory care.
But they also do hint at, they're like, you know, she's a bit difficult, right? They say
she has sundowners.
But also just like she's a difficult person, right? Because they're like, you'll have to cook for her. She's picky, you know? So it's like, so you're starting to get the little taste, right? But Anna, again, Jason offers her the job on the spot. She's like, yes, $6,000 a month. I can go back to nursing school.
Yeah,
she's like very excited.
Right.
And so when she gets up to Stone River, she stops at what to me looks like a roadside stand, but is actually the local grocery store. Okay, but it looks like where you go to pick apples.
That's what I'm like, are we not in the checkout of Tuttle's Apple Orchard in my hometown? Okay, like, you're telling me you got cereal at this place? I don't think so.
No, but when she talks to the store owner, because, you know, again, she's smiley, she's friendly, we get the first signs that this dream job may not be so dreamy. Listen to this.
What brings you to Stone River?
New job. I'm working for the Regans. Do you know them?
Everyone knows the Regans.
Oh.
They got a pretty bad reputation around here.
Why is that?
They've ruined a lot of people's lives. But I'm sure if you're working in the office, you'll be fine. The old witch is retired now.
Okay.
Love him. Love the keeper of the tea. The man who runs the roadside stand grocery store. Anna does not let this dissuade her. She gets her flowers, which I thought was very nice. She pulls up to the house. The house is big. Yeah. And flirty brother Jason is there. He introduces her to Terry, the property manager. And Terry is a classic Lifetime character.
Yep, yep, yep.
Rude for no reason. Every time we meet a property manager, we had this in that movie where the woman wanted to like move back into the house, whatever. There's always like, hey, I help run the property and I got an attitude. Yeah. And they seem to be a package deal when it comes to Lifetime.
Well, I said surly groundskeeper needs to go on the Lifetime bingo because it's always a surly groundskeeper. He keeps the grounds and he hates everyone. And you're like, why is he still employed? It's like, I would not employ somebody who got an attitude problem like that. It's like, you seem like you would kill us. And you're always, also too, you know, with surly groundskeepers, always carrying an axe. Always.
They always have a weapon because their job is weapons. And it's like, it seems like you have this job because you like trees and you're outside with the trees. Also, you should be smiling. The rich people need to be smiling and the groundskeeper need to be smiling.
Megan, you're like a terrible man on the street. You're like, smile.
I know. Smile. Okay. So we go in, we meet Joan Regan. I know they want us to dislike her because she's cold and waspy and not nice. And when I meet Joan, I go, I love this gal.
This is your stuff. This is your stuff.
A woman after my own heart.
This is who you are going to be. This is who you aspire to be when you're 75.
And I find Joan to ring true. She's like, so you're my new babysitter. And that's like, that's what my nanny lived with my family for 3 years from pretty moderate Alzheimer's to very, you know, severe. And so I have lived with a dementia Alzheimer's patient and then went and worked in it. So this is really in my wheelhouse. And what makes it even more in my wheelhouse? Ooh, boy, you said, Megan, did they just make a movie for you? Joan tries to guess what nationality Anna is. And Anna goes, I'm Filipino. I jumped out of my bed. Oh my gosh. I said, we got a Filipino nurse taking care of a woman with Alzheimer's. Call this the Megan Gailey film.
Hey, Megan, I knew she was Filipino immediately. Like when she came on screen, when she introduced herself as Anna Garcia. Because I see that face, yes. Anna Garcia, I think Philippines.
Of course. I knew she was Filipino immediately too.
But we didn't know if Lifetime would check that, you know?
Exactly. And CJ also has asked me to stop guessing that people are Filipino. And I go, I'm a Filipino child now. Am I not part of the Filipino universe? And he's like, you are not. You are the whitest person on earth. You have to stop pointing at people and going, they're Filipino. That is not a game. That is not a good game.
Oh my god.
So I was reserving that.
Okay, you understand. That's very smart of you. I mean, I just wanted you to know. I was like, I'm clocking your people. I'm clocking your people by marriage. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
That night, Jason, Carla, Joan, and Anna all have dinner. Cause you know, it's like Anna's just gotten here. So it's like, why don't we just all kind of sit together, see what's up? And Joan is so mean to her children. And Anna is just so sitting there mean. Trying to make some polite small talk. And she's like, I love the apples. And then for some reason that really softens Joan because she's like, I picked them myself from the orchard, you know? And you've got to find, look, I'm going to give you a hot tip that I've learned, you know, from Lifetime. One, we learned that white wine is an olive branch. Also, always compliment a white woman's produce. That's it, okay? You want her on your side? You give her a glass of Chardonnay and you say, love the arugula, okay? Whatever you can do to get her. I mean, especially, you know, a waspy one, naturally. So that's like, kind of, you know, you start to see Anna is like, okay, kind of maybe working her way, and she gets a small smile from Joan. But then we also, at dinner, it's like all this resentment, you know, basically Joan is like, Jason was the idiot kid. He was a mess. Mm-hmm. Carla and Jason both felt like they didn't get to have fun as kids. Mom was always working. Because the whole thing is like, again, this is a very, you know, small town, Stone River. And it seems as though the Regan family is the employer of the town. Right? Like they're is it a steel plant? A steel mill?
I think it's a steel mill.
But they say plant. And then I get confused. And you know, I don't understand about those kind of business things.
Well, yes. And so Joan seemingly hates her children. and Jason and Carla hate each other too. Like they're ripping on each other's marriages or lack thereof. And I guess Joan pitted them against each other. No, the dad is dead. And has been for a long time. And I guess I do kind of admire Joan that she was like, don't need a man. I'll do it on my own.
But also she was like, I also don't need these kids. She wasn't having it. But I can't stand Carla. After dinner, Carla hands Anna the trash like she's the maid. Like literally shoves it in her face and is like, take out the garbage. And it's like, okay, man, one, it's the first day, calm down. Second of all, there are nicer ways to say, can you take out the trash? Also, she's not your maid. She's not your maid.
No, she's been trying to help. It's not like she's eating bonbons on the couch. Like at the moment she steps through the door through getting the trash flung at her, she's like, what can I do? How can I help? And they've been like, we're good. No, you don't start till tomorrow. And then Carla's like, you're not doing anything. It's like, she's been trying to do stuff. To make matters worse, she brings the trash out. And who's she run into? Old meanie head Terry. Listen to this.
No! The raccoons will get into it. I'll be the one cleaning up the mess.
Sorry, I didn't know you were still here.
I'll leave when the work's done.
You could have joined us for supper.
Doesn't take you long to make yourself at home, does it?
No, I just meant that I'm sure the Regans wouldn't mind.
Wasn't invited. Have yourself a good evening with the family. And remember, you're not one of them. And you never will be.
Okay.
Why are you so mad?
He is so mad. And like, and this happens a lot in Lifetime movies when someone will be so mad. And it's, to me, Terry's obviously red herring vibes.
Exactly.
But it's still never explained why they were so mad. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we do not find out why he crazy from the jump. Because he crazy from the jump, girl.
But we do find out that he is missing a hand. And I didn't even know that.
Honey, we don't find that out. We don't find that out until 10 minutes to the end. And we saw that man on the screen for like 35 minutes.
I think we were supposed to know he didn't have a hand. And I'm like,
I know, we were. We were.
Terry has two hands, to me, and a bad attitude. Now you all know Terry is missing.
He's missing a hand. I guess we were supposed to clock it. I thought it was a glove, but it was a prosthetic, I guess.
Also, I do think to some extent, invite Terry in for dinner too. Like, never have been, never will be. Why can't Terry sit down and eat with them?
Yeah, it's like so crazy. But basically after that terrible interaction with Terry, we learn that some big things, of course, you know, when Lifetime puts it in the dialogue, you got to pay attention.
Yes.
And that is Joan is not allowed to drive and she has a severe allergy to peanuts. Okay. Mm-hmm. And also Jason, remember the little flirty, a little too flirty Jason, says he will pop in every day, probably at the end of the day, just to check in on things. Right. So we know we're going to see his butt a lot. And Carla makes some snide comment about how he just wants a free meal. But then Anna says, you'll never show up to an empty plate, which felt so wifely to me. It was like, why are you doing so much? Anna's a little too shiny, like cutesy for my energy. It's not my taste. I need her. You can be upbeat and like good at your job without sounding like, she's like, you'll never come home to an empty plate. Oh, God, calm down, Anna. Jesus.
I'm going to reserve some of my thoughts. Also, Carla, let him get a meal. Like, the things that people are angry about in this movie, I don't understand. Right. Like, it's like, why can't your brother eat food?
Right.
Let him eat food.
Right.
Okay. Joan's not allowed to drive. And it's like, no one is letting Joan drive.
Exactly.
Okay. There's no one in their right mind is giving Joan some keys. That night, Joan has a nightmare. Anna comes in and Joan, like, I did notice that she was watching some sort of National Geographic and she's like, the lioness, like the National Geographic seeped into her nightmare. And I just want to say, I feel seen. That happens to me all the time.
Wait, specifically with National Geographic or anything?
No.
Anything you're
watching? No, just like we'll be watching something or CJ and I will have talked about someone. And then it's like they're in my dream that night. My brain, I think it's very easy to get inside my head. And then in the morning, she has no memory of it, but she does have Alzheimer's.
But again, the whole thing, you know, with Joan, because she does seem to be in the early stages of it, it's these long stretches of lucidity and then moments of lapsing and forgetting. So it's so tough at times when you're like, okay, when she's lucid, it's like, okay, is she lucid? Is what she's telling Anna the truth? You know what I'm saying? Like in these, because we don't have anything to compare it to as viewers. Like you're watching, you're like, okay, I found myself watching being like, okay, is this about to be a lie that we're going to find out is a lie on the other end? You know, because we are told she has dementia, but anyway.
Well, and there was this, so sometimes I've experienced this, there was a woman at the place I worked at and I loved this gal. Like I would open up the door, biggest smile. Hi, how are you? Like the opposite of Terry. And so one day I said to her daughter, who was lovely, I go, your mom is just the sweetest woman. And she goes, before Alzheimer's, my mom was actually a really nasty person.
Wow.
Very mean. And she forgot everything she was mad about. But I've heard it the other way, where someone is so sweet and lovely and Alzheimer's confuses them. I can't even imagine. It's one of my greatest fears to lose control of your mind in that way. And they become nasty. And so with Joan, you're like, where does she fall on that spectrum? They go to the grocery store. And I love this. My nanny and I used to go to the grocery store almost every single day. It was very soothing for her. We would have to go down every aisle. I'd be like, nanny, we don't have a cat. And she's like, we're going down the cat food aisle. And I do think there was something about like, here is everything. You know where everything is. It is labeled. It was soothing. Oh, we'd go to the salad bar, rest in peace. And we would just have a time at Marsh. Marsh is no longer, and I'm devastated by it.
But Joan likes going to the grocery store, but I think that's very funny because everyone hates her. And Anna overhears the shopkeepers talking.
Carla doesn't seem as bad.
Give her time. Remember what she did to Jenny Conroy?
That was years ago.
Tell that to Jenny. She still gets migraines from where Carla cracked her skull.
And we know, again, Joan's daughter cracked somebody's skull. But because she was a Regan, she didn't have to pay any price for what she did. And then Joan, like, Joan is carrying, like, 5 jars of jam. And I said, ma'am, you don't need that much jam. No one does. In one sitting, how much jam are you using? I'm going to tell you this right now. Our mutual friend, Alyssa Mastromonaco, sent me some beautiful homemade jam. And when I tell you she sent me, like, 5 jars of jam, I'm like, go through 5 jars of jam before it expires.
And this is like, she's famous. So it's like, Alyssa, we're not just going to hand out your jam to other people.
Well, this is my thing. I might have to gift some jam.
I brought Alyssa's jam home to my parents because my parents love Alyssa and they were, oh my God, I mean, this is White House jam basically to them. It might as well have been Kennedy made the jam. And so they, and it's very good jam.
It's delicious jam. You can order it online. Think about it. Three dancing bears plugging jam.
So Joan is carrying this jam and then she spots the owner.
Well, she drops the jam. This is the whole thing. She's holding too much jam. She drops the jar of jam. And then she gets mad at everyone else. And it's like, she's like, these glasses too slippery. Like, that's what's happening.
Because she's embarrassed.
Well, right. But I do think in general, right? And it's partially, as you're saying, going through something that's disorienting to her, maybe. But she, I think, is a general person who lashes out. Yeah. Meaning when she makes a mistake, it's somebody else's fault. She, like, can't take, even in her moments of lucidity, she's just kind of like, this isn't me, it's you. And so, again, this coupled with people talking trash about her, you're like, oh, okay, we see why the town doesn't like Joan.
Right. She says to the shopkeeper, you used to work for me, and I fired you, probably for being incompetent. Yes. It's like, wow, Joan.
Exactly.
I mean, she does make me laugh, though. Like, it's like, there's something about it. I don't know when an old person.
Yeah, it's
mean,
fun.
Sometimes I go, they got a it's point. Fun. They got a point.
No, it's fun. I think I would be. My grandma, she was pretty mean, and she only kind of softened. Like in her, she died at 98, and she probably softened around 88. You know what I mean? But like, she was so scary. Yeah. We were like scared of her. She was so mean. But then as she got older, and like, she was just like, I think she was maybe in the final decade was finally having a little fun with it. You know what I mean? Meaning life.
Yeah,
but like, in general, she was always like, she was really mean. And she would be like, shut your asses up. Like that's what she would always say. Like, we were like literally just like being children, like actors. She'd be like, shut your ass up. And I was like.
And the thing is, she had a point. Like, she's like, you're loud. So Joan buys dog food and then blames Anna. And Joan says her dog was poisoned. She's like, my dog is deady, poisoned. And I'm like, that is a crazy thing to do to her. Like, we actually never find out if Buster comes up a few times, which is such a classic movie dog name. I've never met a dog named Buster. Every dog in a film is called Buster. But it's like, did he get poisoned? Uh-huh. Who poisoned him? We need the origin story. Sometimes we want sequels. I want a prequel, Justice for Buster.
Right. Just Joan's early days when she's like a badass boss. You know what I mean? And no one respects a woman. And she's like,
did she kill her husband?
Well,
we found out he's dead, but
well, honey,
how?
Somebody else might have done it. Somebody else might have done it in Stone River. You know what I mean? Like, no one likes them. I'm like, everyone could be a suspect, really, is the vibe. But basically, even though there's like this snap, this moment where, again, Joan buys the dog food, blames it on Anna. She's like, I didn't. But then Anna's like, sure, I did. You know, again, Anna's not trying to fight with you. Anna's like, I want to keep you alive. I want you to be like as happy and healthy as you can be.
Yeah.
And then Joan and Anna go for a walk. And on this walk, we learn a couple of facts that are, you know, one thing that we learn is like, basically, they're walking on the grounds of their giant estate. And like, basically, one side of the road has like a drop off, a steep drop off. And you got to be careful. You got to stay to the middle when you're walking this road. But then also they kind of bond because Joan's husband has died. Anna's parents have died. And you see like a little bit of tenderness, right? It's like, we've both been through things and we're still standing, right? And they even like kind of lock arms. And then I'm kind of like, okay, Anna and Joan is besties. This is the vibe. Yeah.
I love it. I go, this is what I want for the rest of the movie. I don't want there to be any drama.
Right. But then we get to dinner and, you know, Jason is there, you know, for his lasagna. And I mean, Joan cannot stand him.
He's
like a savage. And also Jason really likes Anna. And at one point he touches her hand and I swear to God, it looks like she's having an orgasm. She is so titillated by his hand on hers. I couldn't even take it.
And Jason is not a hunk.
No.
And it is not, has dork theater teacher energy. So it's like, maybe Anna is excited by the fact that he's rich, but like, if you have not seen this film, no one is getting their panties in a bunch over Jason.
I know.
They're just not.
I know.
And especially to be like cut down in front of your mother. Like, there's actually nothing more emasculating.
I know. That's the thing. It's like every time Anna's with him, he's with his mother who was just like doing him dirty.
Roasting.
Yeah, like,
I know. And she's like, what a hug. Blah, 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 batting her eyes. Okay. So that night, Joan has another another nightmare and is waving a fire poker. Lifetime
we
bingo.
Love it.
No one is doing more for the fire poker industry than the Lifetime Movie Network. And she said, someone was trying to get in. She's scared. She's crying. She's like, everyone in the town hates me. It's really sad. And so Anna is like consoling her back to bed. And she's like, I'll stay with you. Kind of like a child that has a nightmare in some ways. And then next morning, Carla comes in to take Joan to the doctor. And she finds Anna asleep in bed with Joan. And she's pissed.
Livid. Beyond pissed. Livid.
That is weird.
I know. She's like, what is going on here?
You think Anna and Joan are hooking up? Is that what you think is happening, Carla? Like, what do you think is going on? She's her nurse. She gives her baths. She does things for her, and they fell asleep in bed. If I came in and a nurse was asleep in bed with my mom, I would take pictures and I go, this is beautiful.
This is heartwarming. Truly heartwarming. You're like, wow, somebody cares that much. Like, she's with her.
Not Carla.
But then, surprisingly, Joan stands up for Anna. She's like, I asked her to be with me. I was, you know, whatever. And Carla is just, she's such a maleficent. She's so just like storybook villainess to me. And she's like, basically, you know, when she's leaving with her mom for the doctor, she tells Anna to clean the bathrooms and is like, don't get so familiar with my mother. And it's like, calm down, Judy Garland. Something about her just felt very excessive. It was cartoonish.
So
also, you guys, you got to know this whole layer. This movie is as Canadian as they come. Every single person has a strong Canadian accent. And that also just not takes me out of it, but it really does hammer home some of the more histrionic moments.
I also, they're Canadian and they're not doing anything to hide it. And I'm like, I just don't think Canadians are this mean. Like, Carla as a Canadian just doesn't.
A rich Canadian, no less.
Yeah. So then Anna's left alone. She's cleaning the bathroom in a really pretty sweater. I don't understand.
Okay, that sweater, I saw it. I said it was, when you said it was a beautiful sweater, I was like, that's so your style. I've definitely seen you on stage in one of these. Like, it's like a cropped little number with like two buttons.
Yes, but I'm just like, why is Anna cleaning the bathroom? Why is she doing it in a cashmere sweater? And then Terry comes in. He's being rude. And he accuses Anna of gold digging. Like, he's like, you want to be with Jason because you're a gold digger. And it's like, Terry, go away. Fall off the cliff. I hate Terry so much.
I mean, he's out of his mind. You also have to realize, like, at this point, what is this, 3 days? She's only been there 3 days? Like, Terry, she's taking care of a woman with dementia. What do you want?
Yes, you're both the staff. Like, you should be bonding.
Yeah, you should be helping her, showing her the lay of the land, telling her how to do it. And like, so that's what I don't get. I'm like, why are you so upset about this? This doesn't make any sense.
So Joan gets back from the doctor's, but she forgot her purse. Anna goes up to get it, and she spies Terry and Carla talking. And it's like arguing. It seems tense. And then they're like, what do you want? And then she's like, nothing. And when Anna goes back in, she finds Joan in anaphylactic shock. Where did the peanuts come from?
And also, I'm like, what? Has she had this much time to make a peanut butter sandwich and take a bite? And there's a whole thing about them, like, literally Anna, when they went to the store, like, bought her soy butter. You know what I mean? Like, Anna was like,
yes.
She was so serious and focused on, like, when they went to the store, like, there weren't even any peanuts. You know what I'm saying? Crossing the threshold. So it's like, how? Anna grabs the EpiPen, obviously saves Joan's life. But it's still terrifying for everybody. And Anna feels
Carla's pissed.
Carla and Jason are pissed. Anna overhears them arguing about her and like how she bought the peanut butter. But then also Anna calls her friend, like the nurse friend who told her to take the job in the first place. She calls her and is like, I don't know how this could have happened. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not her. And this is why I made my little sound in the log line. She's not prone to mistakes. You know what I'm saying?
She isn't.
She's not. She is being set up.
And what's funny too is like the acting around this is so intense. And I understand that a woman almost died. But the thing that they're being so intense about is peanut butter. So they're like, I didn't buy that peanut butter. Like, it's.
You know, she can't have peanut butter.
It's Citizen Kane level, but about Jeff. Like, it is so funny. Okay. So Anna is really upset. She's packing to leave.
Yeah.
Jason comes in and she's trying to quit. And he's like,
Anna, you saved the day. You can't leave. I
I love how you've connected with Mom. She would be so disappointed if you left. I would too.
And then they kiss. And I said, this is crazy. And then she kisses back. And I said, this is crazy. And then they have sex.
Cut to them in Anna's bed, putting their clothes back on. And can I tell you what my biggest pet peeve, Megan?
My God.
Biggest pet peeve, like in film and television, is when crying turns into kissing. When a woman cries and a man like kisses her and then it becomes this like sexual moment. It very much upsets me because it intertwines someone's suffering with like sexual desire. You see what I'm saying? And There's nothing I hate more.
I do believe I've been guilty of crying straight into sex.
I'm sure
like,
you
I
have.
Think I think that has worked on me before. Like, woo, kiss me and then I'm like, okay, I'll have sex. He kissed her and I go, inappropriate. You should actually resign even faster now. leave your stuff.
Yeah. Again, this is night four. Okay. You like just got here. You already smashing your boss?
Grab the sweater and run. And then she kisses him back. And I go, this is absolutely insane. And the fact that they had sex, Naomi.
I know.
I died.
You died like Joan almost did just 4 hours earlier?
I had to shoot myself with an EpiPen because I'm allergic to Jason having sex. Oh, my God.
But then after they have sex, it's like he never even had sex because he immediately starts complaining about his childhood. Listen to this.
Look, you've only known her for a couple days. You're seeing her in her old age. You're seeing her mellowed out. You didn't have to live with her when she was tearing strips off me for coming home late, calling all my buddies losers and calling all my girlfriends sluts. You know, I had to sneak out to my own grad party. Not like Carla. No, Carla was the chosen one, and I was this wild child that had to be kept on a short leash. And you see how she talks to me, right? Like I'm still 12 years old.
Ugh.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I know. My mama didn't let me play. And then to make matters worse, that mommy who didn't let him play comes in and she's like, what's going on here? She's looking for her walker. No, boy, I'm surprised because like this isn't something an old person would do. It smells like sex in here. Oh, my gosh. Okay, but Anna does find the grocery store receipt at some point, and it says soy butter. She is vindicated, but Jason brushes it off. And that is when I felt solidified in my theory that Jason is the villain.
Right. He really did not seem to care whatsoever when she was like, look, I bought soy butter. And he's like, well, maybe it was they scanned the wrong item. Like, he was just so not having it. And I think it was also for me, him just keep trying to
have sex.
Him just having sex. Yeah, him having sex with her. And just like, again, your mother almost died literally 4 hours ago. And you just don't seem pressed whatsoever.
Yeah. And the sex feels like a distraction to
Exactly. And it's like, oh, my God. The next thing we see, Joan and Anna are on a walk in the woods. Again, Joan's back. She's healthy. She's safe. She's back. And somehow Joan is actually not mad at Anna. She's like, oh, it wasn't your fault. And I was not expecting that because
she likes Anna better than her children.
Well, I guess so. But then remember when like she accidentally bought, not Anna, but when Joan accidentally bought the dog food and then she blamed Anna for doing it. Like,
yeah,
it just felt like that was her kind of character MO that she was. Mm-hmm. But they're besties, honey. When they're walking in the woods, they're besties. That's it. Okay.
And we cut to, like, at one point, Joan's like, you need to be careful because they're coming after me and they could be coming for you. And then they cut to Terry, who is digging a grave. Like, I know he's probably doing something for it looks like he is digging a grave. And he just, like, stares at them with a shovel. And it's like, you are too much.
Later that day, Anna sees Carla going into a shed. And so she follows her and overhears her talking to Terry. And this is what happens. Carla and Terry, they stay whispering. They stay whisper fighting in corners.
They're up to
something. The whole time. The whole movie, that's all. Carla, Terry, whisper fight. And Anna is not good at being clever. So, like, of course, she's standing outside the shed and just, like, knocks over a rake. And then when they come out, she's like, I'm raking. Which I thought that was so funny. It's like, babe, you are not raking. where there are no leaves by the side of a shed. But that night, Anna and Joan sit under a blanket together on the porch drinking tea, which is my elderly fantasy. That's all I want.
Let's do it now. Let's do it now.
You know, my friend Alana and I, we would always talk about being old women together sharing a blanket. And yes. Megan, if you would like to be part of that elderly vision, I would be more than happy to share a blanket with you in my old age. In my young age, which is my old age.
No, I say let's do it now. I want my own blanket because I like to wrap it under my legs. But I will bring, like, since I'm demanding my own blanket, I will bring you your own blanket too.
Oh, okay. So we'll be side by side in our blankets, but the blankets have to match. Yes. Megan, they have to match. Of course, and we'll, oh my God, you know, and we have yet to wear our matching pajamas.
And mine fit now. So I'm ready whenever. I'm in pajama shape now. And then Joan is like, bring in Buster. And Buster is who has passed. And I want Mabel to live the longest life a dog has ever lived, like Guinness Book of World Records style. But I do imagine in your old age, you'll be like, where's Mabel? And I'll be like, Mabel, she went outside for a second.
Yeah, that will be me. She will stay in my heart and mind long after she is gone. While they're sitting there having their tea, like two Canadian old lady friends, Joan tells Anna basically that Carla is going to inherit the majority stake in the company when she's gone. She's like, Carla has good business sense. Jason's immature. He's an idiot. So, you know, again, Joan just really hates Jason. And again, this is another negativity that's never really explained.
No, because it's like you raised exactly. them. Like, it's not like they went away somewhere. Like, if Jason is an idiot, it's your fault, right? Joan. Like, I am sorry, but that's on you, girl. Okay. The scariest scene of the movie is about to happen. I would like to issue a trigger warning. Anna goes into her room that night and she pulls back the covers
and what's there, Megan? What does she say?
A dead snake.
Just a garter snake. Yeah, they get in the house sometimes. Chasing field mice, we put poison baits out for the mice, and I think he ate the wrong mouse.
And it happened to die in my bed.
Y'all. Just imagine you're just toasty, you're ready to pull back the covers and settle in, and what do you see but a garter snake? And when I tell you, this snake was too coiled, too long, too much snake.
Oh my God, I just lifted my foot off the ground. I got so scared.
And I was like, this is insane. And then I also was like, what kind of witchy nonsense is this? Like, I'm like, okay, who's practicing Santeria? What's going on? Why is there a snake in her bed? They are in Stone River, which is basically, you know, insert New England, you know, Canadian winter town. I'm like, where did you go get a snake? And you put it in her bed to do what? Y'all, this, to me, the snake was a turn. The snake was a turn. We were now on a whole new journey in this motion picture. And because we're on a whole new journey, we got to take a break and get ready for that journey.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we are back. I need to make a confession. I thought until this exact moment that we watched this movie that they were called gardener snakes. And they are actually called garter snakes?
Yes, but there also are, I think garden snakes also exist. I don't want to know too much about snakes. I'll tell you that right now.
Snakes are my number one fear.
Wow.
They truly terrify me. I am like so scared of them. And I've been able to overcome it. I obviously love bodies of water. And so I do go into them. But like, oh my God, Indiana Jones and I, we got a lot in common because the snakes. And to have one in your bed, it's not even a wash the sheets situation. It's a burn the sheets. I go, Terry,
I know.
The sheets.
Well, but no, but what happens? So what happens is that Jason comes and he gets rid of the snake. But then when Anna tells him, she's like, I think it was Terry and Carla trying to send me a message. Jason brushes it off. And that's when I was certain he was the mastermind. Because I was like, you're being way too chill about a whole snake getting to the second floor of a home in someone's bed. And then what does he do? He goes, you want me to tuck you in? Again, he's trying to hook up again. I'd be like, I'm sorry. I need a new bed, actually. I need you to buy me a full new mattress. Burn it all. Get me something new that has not been with snake. Can you? I wouldn't be able to sleep that night, Megan. I would be certain like something was crawling on me, slithering on me. Like there'd be no way.
I'm packing and I'm leaving. And if I've connected with Joan, I'm bringing Joan with me.
Right.
Because I can't have a snake in her bed. Unfortunately, she has another nightmare. There's a man outside, she says. And it's like hard to track.
Exactly.
There could be. There also couldn't be. Then Anna and Joan go for one of their famous walks. And Anna is like, are you sure you want to wear those loafers, which are these like really cute Gucci loafers? And I said, that is a good nurse. Okay. I'm like, you can't wear your loafers out in the rain. And then we see Terry and he says,
You be careful on that wet ground, Mrs. Regan. Wouldn't want you to fall and break something.
Shut up, Terry. Why don't you fall and break something?
I wish. I mean, well, he's already lost a hand. But
forgot.
I know. We forget about him not having a hand.
Sorry. Never mind. Because we didn't know at this
time. No, we don't know. We don't know. What I want to say about Joan, like, you know, again, at this point, you know, we're the midpoint of the movie and we've seen Joan a bunch. I'm obsessed with how rich old ladies, like, dress like the Queen of England just around their house.
Yes.
Like, it feels very old money to me. What do you call it, though? Like, Joan is basically in, like, she'll be wearing, like, kind of a tweed. What do you call those outfits? Is it a suit?
No, she's in, like, a sweater and slacks.
But it's always, like, kind of that button down, kind of like the little, like,
It's not a house jacket, because it's more elevated than
elevated.
That.
Elevated. She'd wear that to the country club.
There's this brand called St. John's, and I've always been, like, when I want to be old and rich enough to wear St. John's.
Okay.
And, like, only.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just this like chic sort of, and I'm sure Joan goes to Palm Beach. I'm sure she has a warm weather destination mm-hmm. and she's got some resort wear. But yeah, she's dressed lovely and fur cuffs and yeah, and Gucci loafers.
But also very formally. Exactly. Like you're uh-huh. in your house. Like my grandma wore sweatpants and like a chill blouse. You know what I mean? Like, I think she stopped wearing a bra in, like, 1990. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was, like, whereas, like, Joan is just really, like, she could walk into a business meeting, right? Like, she's ready to meet the shareholders at any time. And
I love that your grandmother's wearing sweatpants and a blouse. Like, she was Zoom ready before Zoom.
Exactly. She said, it was that.
A business up top, party on the bottom.
Exactly. She was comfortable. She was loose. And so then that night, Joan and Anna have dinner with Jason. And look, we keep talking about how Joan can't stand him. Now I want you to just hear a prime example of how Joan talks to her son and why it is very clear he has a motive to kill her. Listen.
I want Carla to send flowers to Doris and Eddie. It's their 50th wedding anniversary Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I can take care of that for you, Mom.
No, I want Carla to do it. You don't know a rose from a petunia.
Just flowers, Mom. I'm sure that I can.
I don't need you embarrassing me by sending a garish arrangement.
I see why Jason might be pissed.
Yeah, and I don't understand, because Jason is nice to Joe.
Yeah,
it's not
he
like
is.
And Carla's snippy with her, but they do, like, Jason doesn't do anything to warrant how much Joan hates him.
I know. There's never an explanation, but they're sitting there and they're having some cider. They're drinking cider and also they drink the cider like it's wine. They take small sips. They drink it out of goblets. I said, calm down. It's just apple juice. And immediately after drinking their cider, both Anna and Joan yawn. They're so tired.
Yeah, it's been spiked.
Obviously.
And I don't know if that's by Terry's dad, because the cider came from quote unquote Terry's dad. It's like, oh God, who's that monster? And so it's like, did Jason spike it? Did Terry spike it? Did Terry's dad spike it? And I started going through this idea that maybe the shopkeeper was Terry's dad. I don't know. I don't think that's true, but.
But, well, you know what it is? They had a similar energy. They had a similar energy. They were outdoorsy men, heady in a Carhartt with an attitude problem.
Yeah.
So you could see them being part of the same bloodline. But basically, the thing was, Jason, I thought Jason was also drinking the cider. That was the thing that I was like, I saw him sipping it too. So that's why I was like, okay, are you involved? Are you not? So early in the morning, like basically Anna wakes up with a headache, you know, the hangover you would have if you had been drugged, but she can't find Joan. The door to the house is wide open and she panics. She calls Jason. She goes looking outside while Jason is, you know, he's like, I'm on my way. And as she's walking the route, she and Joan normally take their walks. She looks over and she sees Joan's body. She is like fallen over the edge is what it looks like.
And she's dead.
And she's gone.
And I did not remember that part of the log line. Like, it's one of those things. Usually we're saying this about a best gal pal of like, you know, Tyrion didn't need to die. Right. It's like Joan, I didn't know Joan was going to die. And it was very upsetting to me. And I know that she's not nice to anybody but Anna, but they just had formed such a beautiful relationship. And I saw Joan changing right before our eyes into like a better, softer Joan. And it just was really, really sad.
I know. You have a soft spot for women of a certain age, too. So I think that's what really takes it to that level. Because you are like, well, it is also like
a tragic, terrible death, too. To like, for her to fall to her death. Ugh.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's like the way it went down. And it's like, they've also like, you know, Anna is in there and they do seem to have a system in place. And just for her to go out like that was just really, it was like so sad. But then we see police tape and it's like, okay, well, it looks like it was an accident. So why is there police tape? And it's because Carla is pressing charges of criminal negligence against Anna. And Carla blames Jason and his libido for even hiring Anna in the first place. And Anna is like sobbing. She's devastated. She cares about it. Look, honey, this is like day six. Okay. I mean, yeah. Anna has not worked here. It's been a week. And so, I mean, she's between, you know, obviously the peanut butter incident was already traumatizing for Anna and Joan and everyone else and them for this to happen. She just feels terrible. And Jason blames Anna. Listen to this, y'all.
Please, you have to believe me. I checked every night.
Oh, like you checked the peanut butter? Like that?
But you saw the receipt. Even you said that there's no way that...
Look, all I know is that we tell you that Mom has a peanut allergy, and then 2 days later, she nearly dies from it. And then we tell you that the doors need to be secured at night, and now... You know, Carla was right. I let my feelings for you blind me.
Blind you to what?
To your incompetence.
Jason, please. There's more. Terry and Carla, I saw
them. Oh, no, you don't. You don't try and pass blame on this, all right? Now, you messed up again. So own it. Can't believe I trusted you. I have to go to the plant now, and I have to tell them all what's happened. I need you out of the house today. You'd be paid for the days you worked.
Okay, and this is when we go, yeah, Jason, you are part of this family.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got that nasty streak.
He's
got
the edge. But also, this is another lesson. What if I told you, okay, white wine is an olive branch, okay? Always compliment a white woman's produce. Also, never go work for coal whites in the woods, okay?
Oof.
You can't be isolated in the middle of this family's Michigas insanity dynamic. Because now, they about to pit a murder on you. You see, don't go, especially when somebody's like, oh yeah, we live in a tiny town away from everything. Do not go there. The money's too good to be true because it is too good to be true. Do not do it. Do not.
That's a great warning. Thank you. Before Anna is able to get out of the house, she's not even trying to clear herself. She's just like, how could this have happened?
Right.
So she goes to the site of the accident where Joan fell over the cliff. And these ugly clogs that Joan hated are there. And she clocks that as weird. But before she's able to do any more investigating, Terry shows up and says she needs to leave. And then he starts dragging her by the arm. And I was like, Terry,
I know.
Get off of her.
I know. But then you see her say it. Anna's like, don't touch me again, right? Like, that's when we start to see that part of Anna where she's like, oh, no. I'm not just sweet and shiny. It's like, don't you ever touch me. And no. You see Terry like, I don't think Terry was ready for that. He wasn't ready for that attitude. But then... And as she goes back to the house, you know, because she got to pack her stuff, and the garbage cans are outside, she sees the empty bottle of cider, and she kind of sniffs it, but then doesn't do anything. And then she goes, she packs up, she leaves, she goes to the grocery store. I'm like, why do you keep stopping at the grocery store? Don't say bye. Nobody remember you. But Anna goes to the store, and basically I realize she's going, because at first I was like, is she saying bye? No, she wants some information, honey. And everyone already knows Joan has died. And then she she's like, hey, could we have bought peanut butter even though the receipt says soy butter? And he's like, nope.
And it's like, yes. Like, he's like, nope, no way. And it's like, sir, I know you want your roadside stand to be foolproof, but it is not. Like, she could have. She did not, but she could have. I wish I could cross-examine this man. So then Anna asked the shopkeeper if Terry lost his hand while working for the Regans. I did not know he had a missing hand. This is news to me. And we find out he did lose his hand. He didn't get any insurance payout. And so instead, they were like, you can come work at our house as the caretaker. I don't think that's how those situations work.
You lost a hand, so come work for me. I'd be away from you. Last time I worked for you, I lost a hand.
And you want me to do more hands-on things? Like, it's like, you want me to have an axe now? No. Where do I file workers' comp if I work at your house? You, Joan? No way.
So at this point, I think Carla and Terry are together, and Carla is their whisper fighting is about trying to get Terry the money that was owed to him once Carla's in charge of the company. That was my theory. You see what I'm saying?
You mean together romantically?
Yes.
Insane. Okay.
It is insane.
Insane.
It is insane, but I'm like, okay, something is going on. Like, they got something going on with the two of them. I don't know how, but they're both very mean for no reason, which would be a sexual bond.
True. I do want to mention quickly that Anna then calls her work friend and fills her in on all of this. And she's like, oh my God. And it's like, Anna, she doesn't know these people. Like, she's like, Jason. And it's like, who? She's busy. Why? Don't call her. Okay. So Anna goes back to the house that she has been fired by and is not supposed to be. She watches Terry leave. So then she breaks into the shed. She finds this notebook that has the security code for the house written on it. And then she finds these little notes back and forth that say she is suspecting something. So she goes to take a picture of this. Her phone battery is dead.
And this is something that always gets me because this happens a lot in a Lifetime movie. This happened in Swindler's Seduction at one point where her phone is dead and she's plugging it. People love having a dead phone battery in a Lifetime movie. And I'm going to tell you this. My phone battery has never fully died in the entire 2 decades that I've had a cellular phone. Am I alone in this? I mean, are we really just out here living on 10% going about our business?
So mine has died, but if I was in a situation where I thought I was being framed for a crime, I do think I would have it 100% charged all the time. Like, I would go to that roadside stand and I go, do you have remote chargers?
Right.
Because that is actually what I need. CJ's phone dies all the time, and we are sometimes FaceTiming his sister and her phone dies all the time. And I go, this must be some sort of Toledano situation.
This is a family trait.
Yeah, this is, you can't just have these phones die. They both have children.
I know.
When CJ and I started dating, I remember we got in a fight, like leaving a sporting event. And the fight basically resulted in me going, if we are going to continue dating, I need you to have your phone charged and I need you to have $20 cash no matter what, because you just don't know what pops up. And he's like, absolutely. No, do you also have to have $20 cash? I go, no, you need to have $20 cash for whatever situation.
Because that's how I am in life, too. I always have a 20 and I always have a charged phone. I mean, I might get down to 40%, but that's only if I'm playing too many games of Gardenscapes or Boggle. Okay. But if I know I need to be out, I'm going to stop.
Wow. 40 is the lowest you go?
Yeah. I ain't out here below 40. I wouldn't be out of the house lower than 40. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay.
In the house, yeah, it gets to 28%. But think about that. Now, just as Anna is looking into all this, Terry comes back with a gas can. Anna has to hide. But then Terry immediately notices, like, stuff is missing. Somebody's been in here. And he notices that notebook is gone. And he walks out. Anna grabs a box cutter. And then Terry, like, spots her. And he starts chasing her. She slashes his thigh with the box cutter. And then uses that same box cutter to slash his tire. And she goes away.
Anna. I said, this is what we want from our nursing angel.
I know, but then I said, poor Terry, honey, he got no hand, maybe now no leg. You know what I mean? If she nicked a major artery, I said, Terry, you lose it one limb at a time.
And it was sad because, like, we just learned he had no hand.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh my, like, it was like, oh, maybe that's why Terry's mean. I'm more on his side. And now it's like, well, nope, his leg is cut and so is his truck. Okay, so that night, Anna goes to Regan's deal. And now we are at the location of the beginning of the film. Right. We have not been to this place before, but we know this because it's industrial. Mm-hmm. So she finds Jason in his office, and he is so mean to her. Like, he is Carla-level mean.
He's got
that Regan mean streak. And then he drags her by the arm. And I'm like, everybody in this film needs to stop laying hands on Anna.
I know. It's like, stop physically trying to drag her from places. And Anna is like, she's convinced Carla and Terry killed Joan, and she shows Jason the notebook she found in Terry's shed, and Jason even admits that that's Carla's handwriting. And just FYI, Carla's handwriting is terrible.
I have terrible handwriting.
You do? See, I think if you're a rich, fancy business lady, you better learn some cursive. I couldn't handle what scrawl it was.
Yeah, like, this is my handwriting.
Oh, wow, really? Well,
yeah, no. People are surprised when they see how bad my handwriting is. They're like, oh, I would think that you would have eyes with a heart.
Yeah, I think and you're it's like, a cursive girl.
Nope. I'm chicken scratch because I got a lot of thoughts in my head, you know, and I get them all out. Carla, she's busy. She didn't have time. I leave the last letter off of words a lot. That's how I was diagnosed with ADHD because they were like, girl, you didn't even finish writing these words.
Oh, I didn't know you had ADHD. This explains so much about when we're hosting.
I don't take anything for it.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Anna is certain that the she that they're referring to in the notes is about Joan. But then Carla appears from the shadows, okay? Because now, again, they're just in this steel factory, mill, company, whatever. And Carla appears from the shadows, and she's like, we were talking about Terry's wife. And that's when we learn Carla and Terry are having an affair, y'all.
What
did I say? Carla and Terry were together. Don't make no kind of sense to me. But somehow they're in love.
They have zero sexual chemistry. They're both so mean. That's what it is.
I think that's what's turning them on, is this anger. Ugh. And then what's also surprising me is Jason is very much on cheating Terry's side. Listen to this.
Carla and Terry have been having an affair nearly a year now.
Why didn't you mention this to me before? Because it's none of your business.
Terry is married with kids. Can you imagine the mess if their secret got out? And that snake in your bed, that was some kind of clumsy warning. But now he finds you snooping in his shed. Can you blame him for being mad? He probably thinks you're going to try and blackmail him.
It's like, Jason is real mad. He's like, yeah, they've been together for a year and his wife's going to be mad. How mad do you think he's going to be? It's like, Jason, why are you caping for Terry? Terry's rude ass.
Stone River is a weird place.
It really is.
Okay, so Anna won't drop it. She's like, listen, something was weird with the cider. And Jason flips at this point. And he's like, you know how you're accusing people? I could accuse you.
Yeah.
And so he's like, just get out of here. Right. And so Anna brings up Joan was found barefoot. She never would have been barefoot. You can't walk on the rocks. And it didn't fully make sense to me. And Jason's like, I don't know, maybe her clogs fell off. And Anna's like, how'd you know her clogs were there? She hated her clogs.
Exactly. And there'd be no way to know about the clogs unless you had been up in her room. Okay. Because basically Anna had pulled them out. They were literally hidden in a chest. And she takes them out. She's like, look what I found, right? So you know the clogs are not out and about. They're not in conversation. They are not part of Joan's stylistic repertoire.
And they're at the crime scene.
Hello. And it's like, so how do you know? And then she also realizes, she's like, I bet I'd find your fingerprints on that peanut butter, right?
Yep.
So what Megan said, she caught it earlier than me, but it was clear as day because this one was a Canadian joint. Jason is the culprit. And listen to why.
I needed somebody trusting. Someone naive. Didn't hurt that you were easy on the eyes.
Why did you need to bring somebody all up in your home life? The lengths you went to find a patsy are terrifying to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because she ate the peanut butter. Like, you didn't eat, you could have right. just given you her, didn't. You could have had no nursing aid and given her the peanut butter. And
exactly.
Unfortunately, exactly. I don't want her to be dead. Then it's a wrap.
Right.
Anna saved, so you brought Anna in and Anna saved her.
Right. Right. And then also what's crazy is your best thought was why don't I have her walk and fall? You didn't need Anna for that. Again, all the things you did, why would you embroil Anna in all this? There is no need for her to do this. And then, of course, Anna's like, oh, okay, you're crazy. You're a psycho. She finally gets it. Jason starts chasing her. She cuts him with the box cutter on his face, it looks like, or maybe she just like hits him in the face. At that point, Carla comes back and all she sees is like Jason's bleeding. And of course, Jason's like, Anna hurt me. So then they both start trying to catch her. Jason is the one with the crowbar. What we saw in the opening, thinking, oh, was that a woman with the crowbar? Nope. Because we are now back in that opening scene, but now we got all that information, honey. And it's Jason. Jason is chasing Anna. And finally, you know, they start fighting. He's got her on the ground. And Carla has, you know, caught up with him. So she's watching this happen. But she also hears this. Listen.
He killed Joan. He threw her off the ridge.
How could you?
I did her a favor, Carla. She was going to waste away. It was going to be a slow death with no dignity. Now, the allergy attack, that was going to spare her the fall if not for your heroics.
Dignity? You dragged her to her death.
She came. She came willingly. After you passed out, I came back. I just told her that we had to go and look for Buster. She didn't suffer. It had to be done. The constant criticism and the nagging and the pitting us against each other. It's over. She can't control us anymore. We're finally free.
What I love about this moment is how quickly and easily Carla thinks Jason did it. Meaning, you know, there's not a, like, basically, literally, Anna's like, he killed Joan, he threw her. And Carla's like, how could you? It wasn't even like a, how dare you? What are you saying?
He wouldn't do that.
Not for a second. Carla goes, why you do it? Carla said, I don't need no convincing. He cray.
My brother's rotten.
I know. And so just as Jason talked about, we're finally free. Well, honey, you ain't free no more. Anna kicked him in the crotch. She runs. And then Jason's like, he goes to Carla. We have to finish this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's chasing. And then we see Carla pick up the weapon Anna had and follows. And I said, what?
And you're like, oh, no. Are the siblings going to band together?
Yeah, I'm like, what for?
But as Jason closes in to attack Anna, who's now stuck at this locked door, Carla hits Jason.
Hello.
And then Jason says he'll kill Carla too. And so Anna's like, no, you won't. And she raises up her scrap metal and Carla goes, yep, do it. Finish him. Wax him.
Oh my God. Cut to 1 year later. That's a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
Anna, we see Anna. She's on the phone with a guy named Mike. And they're talking about their upcoming wedding. Okay. I said too soon. And this is the same thing that happened in Psycho Stripper. These people just be like, oh, I met you a year ago, 2 days after my girlfriend died, and now we get married. You got to get to know people. I don't know what's with the Lifetime fantasy of these, like, one-year relationships leading to marriage. It's very specific to Lifetime.
Yes. And Anna, the last person you had a relationship with tried to kill you. So it's like, you don't think you need to take a little bit more time getting to know someone?
Exactly.
But I guess, Mike, it's worked out. So she's at this fancy restaurant. She gets up to the table and her and Carla hug. She's there to meet Carla. And I'm like, yeah, but Carla was mean.
Thank you.
Carla wasn't in on it. And now Carla's like, the reason they're meeting is because they're like friends now. Also, Jason isn't dead. I fully thought he was dead. I thought she killed him.
Me too. I thought it was a final blow. But no, he's not dead. He got 30 years in prison. And Carla's basically there to tell Anna that he dropped his appeal. So basically, he's going behind bars. There's no way he's getting out. And he's giving up fighting. And I felt the same way too. Because I was like, I was hoping in this dinner, there's going to be a reason why Carla was such a bitch the whole time. There was never an explanation of like, the pressure of my family. I'm sorry if I was rude to you. I'm sorry if I, you know, whatever. It was literally just like, hey, girl, hey. And then Carla gives Anna a picture of Joan. And it's
nice.
Like,
I liked it.
She looked very cute. And she also gives her a check for $100,000.
And we see it. We see the check and the 100K.
Uh-huh.
She worked there a week.
One single week. And I'm like, this is so crazy. And then Anna says, like, Joan loved you very much, Carla. And they both cry and order a bottle of your finest champagne. I love when people say
one
finest
week.
Champagne.
1 week.
1 week. I said, I hope Carla's paying for the champagne, even though I know Anna just got 100K. And that's how the movie ends. But I'm going to tell you this. I now think every Lifetime movie should end with a white woman giving a woman of color $100,000.
Wow.
Talk about a happy ending. About a happy ending. If you just were like, here's some cash money up in here.
And a bottle of champagne. I think 100K and the bottle of champagne.
Every woman who suffers in a Lifetime movie, she should get 100K from any white woman. I don't care who she is. I don't care if it's a woman we haven't even seen during the rest of the film. Just her coming up to her, wherever she is in life, giving her 100K and saying, you're fine as champagne.
I hope Carla is in therapy and really sorting through her own demons because... Did Terry tell his wife?
Right. We don't know what's going on with that. That was another thing, too. If she was like, hey, sorry, I was a bitch. I was in a relationship with our married groundskeeper and it really stressed me out. Like, I needed something to explain why Carla was so nasty from the beginning. And then she's like, I never thought my brother would do something like this. That's like all she says. She's like, I'm sorry. I never thought my brother would do something like this.
Killing an old person is extra evil. And it's also like, they're going to die.
I know.
What are we doing, Jason?
I know.
So, justice for Buster still. did Jason poison Buster? Did someone in town?
Well, that exactly. It's a reference to Buster where it's like he was poisoned. It's like, did Jason do that? Because like if Buster was there, he wouldn't have been able to sneak around the house. You know what I mean? Because the dog would have alerted her. It's like you really like you can't mention because you know how I am about dogs. And, you know, we got a lovely review that was like, they always mention when an animal is killed or injured and give a warning. People respect our priorities. You know, we didn't see Buster, but now there's the implication that there might have been some foul play vis-a-vis Buster. And it's like, no, thank you. I need to close the loop on that.
I bet Terry did it just for fun because he's that sick.
Such a creep. We hope you loved that throwback, Secrets in the Family. I'm telling you, that one really brings home the Lifetime rule. Don't go into the woods. Next week, we kick off Black Music History Month. Oh, yes, we do. We're talking all things TLC. Yes, the iconic girl group TLC, with a Lifetime premiere of TLC Forever. This documentary film follows the revolutionary, top-selling American female group of all time who broke boundaries, influenced an entire generation, and survived against all odds. T-Boz and Chili tell their story for the first time in this feature documentary. So watch it Saturday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. only on Lifetime. We'll see you next week. I love a Lifetime movie. If you love Lifetime movies as much as we do, tune into Lifetime and LMN to watch all the new and classic movies that we can't get enough of. Check your local listings to find out what's airing on Lifetime and LMN because it just might be the movie we talk about next. And wait, there's more. Check out the new bomb Lifetime podcast, Crime of a Lifetime, where two amazing hosts take you beyond the headlines of a crime and they get into the nitty-gritty twists and turns of the story. That's my jam.
This podcast would not be possible if it was just Naomi and me, for sure. This episode is produced by Aisha Jordan and Elizabeth Scadden.
With sound editing and mixing by the Podglomerate.
Executive produced by Jesse Katz.
With original music by Blake Maples.
And hosted by Naomi and Megan.
You should know that by now if you've gotten to this point. You should know that we're the host, okay?
It feels like we don't even need to say it, but we'll put ourselves in the credits.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.